Verona Maunga's family is from Samoa, and her dad always called the United States the land of milk and honey.
Where anything was possible, as long as we worked hard and reached up to try and get those things that we wanted.
But this year made that phrase even more meaningful.
I don't think my parents, when they came in the late 70s, ever imagined that the land of milk and honey meant that their daughter will be elected to office in the state. But it's happening because we live in such a great place. We live in such a great country. I mean, for all the flaws and all the, we can make lists and lists of things that go wrong, but there are many really great things. 3 Polynesians could be elected in 1 year to the Utah legislature, and I'm grateful for that.
Maunga is a Democrat from Taylorsville and one of the newest lawmakers on Utah's Capitol Hill. She's also one of 3 Pacific Islanders who voters elected to represent their communities last November. Harriman Republican Doug Fifia and West Valley City Democrat Jake Fitisimanu round out the trio. And for those of you keeping tabs at home, that's exactly 3 more Pacific Islanders than we had last session. We brought Maunga and Fifia together for a conversation about their roots and their future on Capitol Hill. You'll hear more of that later in this episode of State Street. Which, by the way, welcome back. I'm Sean Higgins.
And I'm Sage Miller. Ugh, feels so good to be here.
Feels like we never left, actually.
Mm-hmm.
This season of State Street, we're heading back to Capitol Hill, baby.
That's right. Another 45-day legislative session is here. There is no short supply of chaos and Diet Coke inside those marble hallways. While I'm always ready for a 44-ounce of Diet Coke, I don't think my whittle brain is ready for the House Chamber bells to sing. You know the ones I'm talking about, Sean Higgins?
Oh my God, my hands got all sweaty just hearing that.
Just wait until you start hearing bill numbers in your sleep and Senate President Stuart Adams scolding senators for getting off topic.
Okay, looks like we're going to suspend some rules, so let's get going. Let's suspend the rules first, buddy. Let's be clear. Point of order, yeah.
Nope. Senator, nope. Nope, 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 nope.
Before we dive headfirst into the session, let's talk about the makeup of the new ledge. It's looking a little different this year. The legislature is still mostly dominated by white men, but it is getting more diverse. There are more women in the legislature than ever before. That's what I call girl power. And we have these 3 Pacific Islanders. A quick history lesson for you. Immigrants from the Pacific Islands like Hawaii, Samoa, Tonga, Fiji, Tahiti, and others have called Utah home since the late 1800s. That's due to a long history of successful missionary work and deep cultural ties between the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the South Pacific. But we haven't really seen them very much in state government. Only a few examples come to mind, like former Attorney General Sean Reyes, who has Native Hawaiian and Filipino roots, and Tongan Phil Weepy's service in the legislature from 1991 to 1994.
When you put it that way, the fact that we have 3 Pacific Islanders in the legislature this year, it really puts it into perspective.
That's a pretty big deal.
Utah's population is becoming more diverse every year. In fact, Utah has the 5th largest population of Pacific Islanders in the country, behind Hawaii, California, Washington, and Texas. But crunching the numbers a little differently, Utah has the highest percentage of Pacific Islanders in the continental U.S.
Okay, let's stop there for a second. I knew there was a sizable Pacific Islander community in Utah, but I didn't know how it stacks up against other states. That's nuts, and it's pretty nifty to see representation finally making its way up to Utah's Capitol Hill.
I know, right? Soon they'll be making and passing laws. So, for the first episode of the legislative season, we thought it would be interesting to introduce you to some of the new faces up on the Hill this year.
But we're doing it game show style. Instead of us interviewing the lawmakers, the 2 lawmakers interviewed each other. I offered them cards with questions on them, and they drew them wild card style. That means they had no idea what they were getting themselves into. Shout out to NPR's Rachel Martin and her great podcast, Wild Card, for the inspiration. I started by throwing them a couple of softballs.
I'm Verona Malga, a newly elected Utah House Representative in District 31, which is West Valley and Taylorsville.
And I'm Doug Fiafia, also newly elected in the Utah House of Representatives in District 48, which is Harriman, South Jordan, and Riverton. Pick one Utah icon, the Ninth and Ninth Whale, the Spiral Jetty, or the Living Planet Aquarium Claw.
The Claw.
None. I don't like any of them. I'm probably going to be hated for that, but like, they're all weird.
The whale would have been my number two.
Maybe the whale. The whale's cool, I guess.
What is your favorite Utah delicacy? Is there one?
Fry sauce. That's the only
fry sauce.
I eat it with. I can't eat a burger without fry sauce.
Fry sauce is the Utah delicacy for me as well. Okay. Keep your head down or make waves in your first session. This is a good one.
I think I'm going to make some waves. I think I got early advice to keep my head down, and the bills that I'm looking to run just happen to be ones that will make waves. And I think it's that. With that said, I also believe that I will take the time to learn, and I will do a lot more of listening versus talking. But I think the bills that I'm planning on running will create waves inadvertently. So it is what it is.
You know, I actually received the same advice you received, and I'm wondering if that's the advice that all newly elected legislators have been receiving. But I feel like we are living in such an important time that the legislation that we put forth will always make waves. And so we've knocked on too many doors. We've talked to too many constituents. There's too much on the line to put our heads down.
Yeah, I agree. All right, next question is, what are you going to wear on your first day?
Okay, I don't know. I've always imagined myself showing up in the white suit, like all white. So that's a maybe. I also have a very cute red blazer I might wear because I want to show up and make waves. And so, yes, I have no idea. I probably won't know until that morning what I'm wearing.
I think I'm rocking the blue suit, red tie. But I've gone back and forth because I think our first day is our swearing in day,
yes.
Right? Too.
Yeah.
And part of me says that I should wear like the traditional ta'ovala, right? Like that's like the thing I go back and forth on. And I know some people will roll their eyes at it. Like, why are you wearing that? Like whatever. But I think it's, a tribute to our ancestors who have paved the way for us to be in the seats that we are. And so a big part of me is being Tongan, and I know my mom's going to have an opinion on it.
And I have to say that is the same for me, is wondering if I know that everything that we do as Polynesians, as Pacific Islanders, we represent our greater Polynesian community, right? And so representing them through the way we dress and the way we act and speak, I think is such an important thing for us. And so, yeah, I might show up in traditional wear as well. But regardless if I do or not, like, we represent such a strong, bold community that came out for both of us and supported us in so many ways.
Absolutely.
What topic do you need to learn the most about?
Gosh,
everything.
Like there's topics that I need to learn stuff about, but I think there's also topics that I've spent a lot of time in. I've spent hours and hours and hours with Health and Human Services because I sit on Social Services Appropriations, and that budget is one of the most complex budgets. I think it probably is. And it also is the largest budget. I think last fiscal year was $8.7 billion. And so to make sure that I'm holding the state accountable and making sure the money is going where it should, I'm taking a lot of time to meet with different department heads, to go through their budget, to understand where this money is going, and making sure that it's supporting the right people. So I don't know what I need to learn everything about everything, but I'm spending a lot of time with Health and Human Services. How about you?
My answer is the same. Everything. And there's so much to learn. We've had these meetings that we go into and we're learning from different departments and different committees. And sometimes I'm just there taking notes because I have no idea what's the most important topic. So I have tons of notes right now. But my committees are economic development and judiciary. And so I am spending a lot of time just really trying to understand the ins and outs of the Judiciary Committee and economic development. And so I know how to best serve my community and the people who elected me.
We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll hear more from Doug Fiafia and Verona Maunga. You're listening to State Street.
Support for State Street comes from the Hinckley Report on PBS Utah. I'm Jason Perry, director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics. The Hinckley Report is Utah's weekly political roundup, bringing together Utah's top journalists, political thinkers, and lawmakers to help you understand how politics impacts your life. Listen to the Hinckley Report wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to State Street. For this next part of the conversation, I handed them a card with a rather lengthy question.
Okay. Wow. KUER asked its listeners what the legislature could do to make their lives better. There were some listeners who said the legislature simply shouldn't meet and that they didn't have faith the body could make their lives better at all. That's sad. What do you make of that?
I would love to ask follow-up questions like that. That's something you can't just hear and be like, oh, cool. Let's just move on from that. I think we've got to dig deep into what that is. I think the more I've met and knocked doors and spoke to constituents, people feel so separated from the lawmakers. People didn't even know it was election time. Some people, even with a presidential election this cycle, people don't know what issues are important to them, and they don't know where to go. And so I think it just takes a lot of effort on our part to make sure that we are getting the message out, taking time to sit down with our constituents and informing them. My goal is to be the most transparent government official in Utah. And that comes with a lot of good and a lot of bad. I don't know that I've ever been in a position where I've been respected and loved so much, but also at the same time, on the other side of the coin, being hated for who knows what. There's people who don't even know me who hate me, which is funny. And I haven't even done anything. I just ran a campaign and won the election, and now I'm a politician. I'm a dirty politician. And so I want to show people every side of me. That's the family side. This is the businessman side of me and my career. This is the politician side of me. This is the person who loves to golf, the person who loves to be dad and spend lots of time with his family, the person who loves to travel, the person who thinks he's a foodie and judges food in restaurants in Utah and outside of Utah. And my hope is that people see, one, that I'm a regular person, but the other side of this is I want you to see every part so that you can see the good, the bad, the ugly, and you can make your judgment.
Yeah, it's definitely disheartening. Also, at the same time, I totally understand why someone might say or people would feel that way. And so my response to that is I ran for office because so just a little bit about my background. It's in mental and behavior health. I started working at a mental health program when I was 21 years old. And I've done everything from being a support staff to cleaning the bathroom to doing transport. And I worked my way up to being an administrator. And then I opened my own treatment center. Working in this field and then also doing a lot of the community work that I do in nonprofit, like we have front row seats to a lot of the disparities in our communities. And so I've spent time throughout the years up at the legislature. And one thing I didn't see were just regular community folks, right? Like our neighbors, they're not up there. People who look like me and who look like you don't necessarily spend their time up at the legislature. And it's because of things like they have full-time jobs and their parents and they're caring for their kids, or they just don't have the means or even the awareness to go and see what's happening in these committees and see what bills are being run. And so I ran for office because I want to represent those people too. We haven't always had representation in a way that is meaningful to a lot of communities, especially on the West Side. We did something really great in Utah. We elected 3 Polynesians. And so there definitely is a shift, but that doesn't happen unless we show up and unless you have people who are out there advocating for you and helping you be aware of those issues. And so what I say to this is, there's opportunity for us as legislators and community folks to learn and understand things. And I think that we can make those changes and make that shift within our communities. Because just me and you, Doug, running for office and getting elected, I fully expect to see double the amount in the next election of Polynesians and people of color and whatever your background is running for office because one person did it. And so I'm here to make a change. I'm here to represent everyone. And I hope that I can do my small part.
Love it.
I would, the person, if they're listening, I would invite them to reach out to one of us and to come up on the hill and shadow us and just see everything. It may not change your mind. Is there a lot that needs to be fixed with the legislature? Absolutely. But that's also why we ran.
What does it mean to you that it went from 0 Pacific Islanders in the legislature to 3 in one session?
I think it's cool. I think it's awesome. Like, it's hard to, like, take in. Like, we were just sitting, my wife and I were just sitting at the inauguration ceremony, and both of us were really emotional. And not so much because of the people being inaugurated. Like, that was cool. It was cool to be in that room. But, like, more so the path that it took to get here. And the people who sacrificed for me to be there and to be sitting in that room, it's cool. It's awesome. I like am humbled and honored to be one of the 3, but I can't help but think of my ancestors who figured out a way to get me here and my parents who navigated coming to a country they didn't understand. They didn't speak the language, like the food, have jobs, have home, have security, and figure it out. And so I don't take this position lightly. I don't forget where I come from. I don't take it lightly who I represent, not only my district. Whew. Man.
Doug, what is happening?
But so many that have come before me, and there was so many Polynesians who came out, who gave money, who gave time, who gave resources, who voted for the first time in their life as Americans, who knocked doors, who hung door hangers, who did so, so much. And so I don't take it lightly that we're sitting here being interviewed only because we've won an election. And that there is high hopes that we'll make a difference and impact for not only our districts, but also the Polynesian people. With that, the same question for you.
You know, I think Doug and I have a similar immigration story. My parents immigrated to America in the 70s. They came from Samoa to BYU, Hawaii. We moved to California and then made our way here to Utah. And my parents taught us to be grateful for everything that we had, but to also work hard for everything we had. And my parents, as new Americans, like sometimes they had to be creative with how they cared for us and made ends meet. And so they would bake out of our home, out of our garage. And my siblings and I would take those treats down to Kearns Park and sell them on a Saturday. We took a card table with us and some chairs, and we would sit in the park and sell treats from our culture. So like pineapple pies and steamed buns than coconut rolls. So from a young age, I learned to be a part of something greater than myself, and I learned to work really hard and what the value of a dollar meant. And now being elected, I am so grateful for the opportunity that I had to not just run for office, but to be in community with so many people. And it was interesting because I would have these fundraisers or events, and I'm a Democrat, and at my my campaign kickoff, someone walks in with a Make America Great Again hat, and one of the girls on my team like pointed him out, and I just said, this is what we will see for my entire campaign, because in our community, we can see past party affiliation and look to the person and look to good works and what we've done and how we have always taken care of each other as a community. And so knowing that I have like this entire village on my side, I will always serve with integrity and love and from my heart and based on the values that I grew up with. My husband and I went up to the Capitol a couple weeks ago, and we both cried. We walked to my office and we saw my name on the door, and we stood in front of that door for a few moments, and with tears in our eyes and gratitude in our hearts, because being able to serve in the legislature and serve our communities is in this capacity, it's one of the greatest honors I think I will ever have. And so I just look forward to serving all of our communities and all of Utah in a way that could be meaningful for so many people.
All right. Well, we went deep and far. And
yes, didn't expect to cry today.
That was Republican Doug Fifia and Democrat Verona Mauga.
Fifia and Mauga aren't the only greenies on the Hill. There are 22 new lawmakers, Sean. 22 new lawmakers that got elected to represent their districts throughout the state. So that means we have a lot more names to learn.
Sure do.
But some things about the legislative session always remain the same. Like the feeling we're sprinting a marathon with an ungodly amount of bills at the finish line. Could this be another chart topper year? Lawmakers have passed record numbers of bills in the last 2 years. A bunch of people have called them out on that. Even Governor Spencer Cox wanted to know if there's a better way.
It doesn't need to be a bill. We like to joke that we have a meeting that could have been an email. We often get bills that could have been a phone call.
That's a big TBD, but we do know what the Republican supermajority is going to be focusing on this session. Speaking of,
want to rapid fire some of the themes we expect to be coming down the pipeline?
Oh, yeah. I'll start. Immigration.
Energy.
Public safety.
Elections.
Housing. Particularly the affordable kind.
Ballot initiatives.
Constitutional amendments.
Also, like, they're going to do something with judges, right?
Mm-hmm.
All I can say is, dee-dee-dee-dee, dee-dee-dee-dee.
Sage, stop it. Stop it.
I just got that dog in me, Sean.
You're going to have to explain that one to me. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. So you don't know your meme. I see. Essentially, I'm just really tough and I'm good in important situations. Just like you. You got that dog in you too, Sean.
Appreciate it.
Lucky for you, we've got two great interns joining the politics team this session to help bring you the legislative coverage you need and you deserve.
That's right. Elle Crossley and Stevie Shaughnessy will be our teammates through it all. Keep an eye out for what they'll be covering.
Hi, I'm Stevie.
I'm Elle, and we can't wait to get started.
Maybe we're excited because we haven't done this before?
No, I'm legit ready for this.
And don't forget KUER education reporter Martha Harris.
Bilingual communities reporter Macy Lipkin is focusing on immigration this session as well, so expect some great reporting from those two. That does it for this episode of State Street. I'm Sean Higgins.
And I'm Sage Miller.
If you want some great tips on how to survive the session and stay on top of all the latest legislative updates, check out our State Street newsletter. You can sign up for that at our website.
We couldn't put State Street together without a bunch of help. Our digital dream team is Jim Hill, Raquel Davis, and Eleanor Gomberg.
David Childs and KUER News Director Elaine Clark are responsible for editing and audio production here at State Street.
And Caroline Ballard is our executive producer.
See you next week.
That's what I call girl power.
My favorite kind of power.
Good. I'm happy to hear it.
From KUER.